John 15. This is so good. I taught you last week about obedience, and the reason why God had me to teach about obedience was to set you up for what he's doing, what he wants to speak to you about tonight. Obedience is the ability to hear and listen under pressure. It's the ability to listen to the voice of God when things are not going the way you want it to go. Obedience is not always a mechanism of something negative in your life and having to listen to something positive while something negative is going on. It's simply that your will is always involved when obedience is concerned. So God does not usurp your will. You have to lay it down. You have to lay it down. And so when you become a student of seasons, when you start understanding that God is a God of timing and a God of season, then you have to learn what it's like to live life on the vine. So tonight I want to teach you how to live on the vine. We preach this stuff, we teach this stuff, but when it comes to living on it, when it comes to enduring it, because it's not what you escape that matters, it's what you endure. So John 15, we're going to get into it, and it's going to rock your world, and you're going to ask, how in the world, Pastor, did you get all this out of John 15? So John 15, Jesus says this. We know the scripture. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husband and the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He responds again, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I want to talk to you about life on the vine. Life on the vine. Fruitfulness is really fun, and we all love it. We all love when our life is fruitful. We all love when we enter into seasons of our life that are joyful, that we're winning, things are working, marriage is good, business is good, family's good, but life doesn't stay that way. If you live long enough, and God willing you will, you're going to endure some seasons that are dark. You're going to endure some seasons that are difficult. You're going to endure some seasons where you're confused. You're going to endure some seasons that just aren't fun at all. You're going to endure some seasons and say, God, when is this going to be over? You're going to have some crying seasons. You're going to have some crawling seasons. And if you really want to be 100 about it, you're going to have some cussing seasons. You're going to have some seasons where you're like, God, this is some flimny flam. Y'all ain't said nothing. This is some frockinacle, and I don't appreciate it. And if the person next to you is not laughing, they lying. They're lying. Because when life throws his best shot at you sometimes, God doesn't always respond. He doesn't always say, everything's going to be all right. He doesn't always come up and say, you know what, I did that for your good. We tell ourselves that. No, God. But we go through stuff and we start rebuking the devil. First of all, I taught the ministers, I said this to the ministers upstairs, you know, if you understand who you are as a Christian, you don't have to rebuke the devil. The Bible says resist him and he'll flee. Oh, have mercy. You ain't got to rebuke him. You can just resist him. That's how powerless he is. It's like somebody trying to get your attention that you are ignoring. That's what it means to resist. It's like a guy trying to get your number and you're like, please. Okay, y'all want to talk back to me. So you can resist the devil. You ain't got to rebuke him. So you're sitting there rebuking something that ain't going nowhere. It's still there. You done rebuked it. You done poured oil in it. And it's still there. Why? It must be life on the vine. Lord have mercy. It must be a normal part of a process that's going to produce something in your life that you otherwise would not get unless you had life on the vine. Psalms 1 says it this way. I want to take you there because this is a tie-in to where I want to go. Come on, go to Psalms 1. We know what it says, but I don't want to take it for granted that you all know it. So go to Psalms 1. Let's work the Word of God. And Psalms 1 is a very powerful passage. I was going to take it as a text, but decided to go to John 15 because you'll understand in a second. So in Psalms 1, the Word of God says that there's this blessing that comes upon a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The Bible says, when you have this, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Right? It gives you the contrary version of the person that doesn't meditate. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Right? And so it gives you a parallel of what it's like to abide in the vine, to stay planted, to understand the shapings and the shifting of seasons. He said in Psalms 1 that when you meditate on the Word of God day and night, you're like a tree planted by rivers of living water. Your fruit comes in season. And the most important thing I got out of that is that your leaf does not wither. Your leaf does not. Do you know how powerful that is? Because every season, right now, we're in a season where leaves are coming back. They're coming back because they died off, right? Seemingly, they died off. No, they just fell. The leaves fell. They just fell off. They fell off, and they're going to come back. This scripture says that your leaf won't even wither. Woo, Lord have mercy. It won't even wither. That means you're always going to constantly be covered. You're constantly going to be in the position to produce something. You're constantly going to be in a position to flourish. And so when you meditate on the Word of God day and night, that's your constant position. And so why do we do the opposite? Why do we not meditate on the Word of God day and night? Why do we not abide in the vine? The reason we don't stay in life in the vine is because of the cut. See, he says that each vine, each person, each branch that produces fruit, he prunes. And when the pruning starts, you think you're being punished. When God starts cutting on you, you think he's condemning you. And what he's saying, I'm growing you. We do this because we stop listening to him. White noise is the only frequency that can include all noise. So when you hear somebody say it's just white noise, what they're saying is that it's part of the sound of everything. If you turn on your TV today and turn on the news station, whether it's CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News, it's white noise. You don't hear what I'm saying. It's not fake news. It's white noise. The volume, the frequency includes everybody's criticism and everybody's opinion, that nobody's criticism or opinion is actually heard. It's just white noise. No one's listening to anybody. Everybody is just talking like talking heads. And no one is actually really listening to anybody. And so It is life on the vine is being comfortable with the cutting, but more importantly, being comfortable with the silence. Because when you have to endure seasons when you're not producing anything, it's silent. Oh God, it's silent. It's not mute. The ability for God to speak and for you to feel like he's with you is there, but it's just silent. And you think because he's silent, that means he's not working. Just because God is silent doesn't mean he's not working. And so it is wonderful in the book 1 Kings, there's a prophet, Elijah, 1 Kings 19. Prophet Elijah, God gets him into this cave, and he gets into this cave, and the Bible says, God comes to him in all these ways. He comes to him in the fire. He comes to him in the wind. And the Bible says after the fire, he comes with this gentle, this still, small voice. One translation says he comes with a gentle whisper. Life on the vine has to get you to have the ability to abide. Look at your neighbor, say remain, 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 remain. And so what we are not taught to do is remain. So we uproot. We uproot ourselves. And by uprooting ourselves, we lose our ability to communicate. Oh, Lord have mercy. When you look at a tree or you look at a forest and you see the trees and you see the crown of the trees, you go, that's a beautiful tree. What you don't see is what's going on underneath of it. You don't see the root system and you don't see how deeply it is connected. And you don't see what it's really connected to. And you don't see how all the trees are feeding off of one another and sending the information back and forth. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You don't see what's going on underground. And you're only determined by what you can see in real time in the space. And just like being with God and walking with him and having to obey and listen in a place where you feel like you need to leave, where you feel like you're being punished when you're really being pruned. And it's uncomfortable, and you don't like the comfort. God will never comfort your comfort. Oh, yeah, that's another word. Now, he will only comfort those that mourn. Y'all don't want to hear what I'm saying. He's not going to comfort your comfort. So if you're in a comfortable, complacent place, and you're saying to God, "I'm good," then he's not going to talk. He's not going to talk. And most of us are trying to get to complacency, not to purpose. Okay, I'm preaching right in the shower. We want to be comfortable. We want the bills paid. We want our husband to come to church with us just every now and then. Y'all want to talk back to him. We want the things that make us complacent. If I can just get this, then I'll be okay. And what if this never comes? Do you have the power to remain? Do you have the power to stay planted? Do you have the power to continue to meditate on the word of God day and night, even though you have all this white noise? Do you have the power to tune into a different frequency? So I want to give you some principles here that God gave me from that concept, from what I just said. Life on the vine is being comfortable with the sound of silence. Oh, Lord have mercy. The sound of silence. The sound of silence. Stillness, calmness. When you think about what the disciples were going through when they ever went through something difficult with the Lord, you think about it, that Jesus tells them, come on, get in the boat, we're going over to the other side. Storm comes, right? And they think they're going to die. They crying about it. Jesus is asleep in the boat. They go down and wake him up. He's like, why y'all wake me up? Oh, ye of little faith, what's wrong with you? And he gets up and he says, peace, be still. It was interesting to me that he didn't yell at the storm. Oh God, Lord have mercy. He didn't yell at the storm. He wasn't mad at the situation. He wasn't angry about it. He just said, peace, be still. Huh? How did he stop the storm? He quieted it. He made the storm silent. In other words, he got the storm on his frequency. Okay, I'm gonna get to where I'm gonna stop playing with you because I can already see you. Like, come on, man, come on. Watch this. The sound of silence. Being on the vine is being able to deal with the sound of silence. When Jesus stops the storm and he does it, he says, "Quiet, be still." He does it, but it's so powerful because silence is powerful. You want to know how powerful silence is? You can't quote it. You can't quote it. Okay. You can't quote it. Nothing will make you seek a conversation with somebody more than when they're silent. Let your husband or wife go silent and give you the silent treatment. And you're going to be at the door like, can we talk? Babe. Can we just talk like adults? Can we have a conversation? Can you come out of the room? They didn't say anything to you. They were just silent. And what's killing you is why? Oh, y'all don't want to talk back there. Why are you silent? I need you to talk. I need you to say something. And when we're going through experiences with God and with life, and we have to live life on the vine, and God is saying, stand connected to me, and I want to disconnect, and I want to do my own thing. And God is saying, no, obey me. Listen, I need you to stay right here. Stay planted. Don't move. Your leaf is not going to wither, but it looks like it's turning brown. You understand? And y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And you got all that going on, and God is not talking. He ain't saying a word. You're praying. You're crying. You done dance. You done twirl. You done came and put your $20 on the altar. Huh? Y'all ain't saying that. You came down. You did it. You did it smooth, too. When you came down, you weren't really looking at me. You was looking at God. You was like. Because you wanted God to see your faith. I wish I had somebody. And you wanted God to know. I did that in front of everybody just to let you know I'm serious, Jesus. And you get home and God don't say nothing. And it's just silent. What do you do with that? How do you handle that? And so life on the vine is being able to deal with the sound of silence. In the Hebrew word for that still small voice or for that whisper is really better translated silence or stillness or calmness. And so here's why this is powerful. Because if I start whispering, so somebody at a distance is going to be at a detriment because they can't hear my whisper. God spoke to him in silence. Why? Because all hell is breaking loose, and God is saying, if you want to hear me, get closer. Oh, Lord, have mercy. When all hell is breaking loose, you want to get away. And God says, get closer. And in order to get you closer, he goes silent. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. Let me prove to you. Right. When I was just whispering a second ago, a whisper is speaking very softly using one's breath without one's vocal cords. So I was using my breath, but not my vocal cords. To use my breath instead of my vocal cords is very significant because that's how God created Adam in the first place. The Bible says he breathed. Oh, hallelujah. The breath of life into him. And then man became a living soul. He whispered into him. Oh, God. Because he wanted to be close to him. And he always wanted to be close to him. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, when Adam fell, when Adam fell, and God showed up, he said, where you at? Where's Eve? I don't feel you. You missed our appointment. You used to walk with me in the cool of the day. So when God said, where you at, that means he was looking for you. We had a place to meet and a time to meet at the cool of the day. And that's when I showed up to whisper to you. But you wasn't there. You didn't remain. You didn't remain because you ate something I told you not to eat. You didn't remain because you stopped meditating on the word day and night. You didn't remain because you got anxious when I told you to be anxious for nothing. You didn't remain because you got fearful when I told you I didn't give you a spirit of fear. Oh, God. Yeah, you got anxious because you wanted your will instead of laying down your will to pick up my will. You didn't remain. You didn't remain because you wanted the thunder and the lightning, but you don't want my whisper. To get my whisper, you got to get in close proximity to me. Oh, God. You have to be into me to get my whisper. It requires intimacy, and intimacy requires transparency. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. Oh, God. When somebody speaks in a whisper, you got to get close to hear them. That's just that simple. And so when things are going astray in our lives and when we don't look like we're bearing fruit, or when we bear fruit, we get cut. Do you understand that? That's life on the vine. If I don't bear fruit, I'm going to wither and die. If I bear fruit, I'm going to be pruned. It's a lose-lose. You're going to cut me if I'm productive. Huh? You're going to cut me if I'm not productive. But if I'm productive, you're going to cut me. But you ain't going to cut me off. Oh, my God. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all want to talk to me. Come on, get in this room with me. If I'm productive, you're going to cut me because you're going to say you want to make me more productive. But what you're not going to do is cut me off. If I don't remain, I'm going to fall off. And I'm going to cut myself off from the vine, my source of life. So I have to choose to remain. I got to stay planted. I got to stay planted in this word. I got to stay. I can't pick up his word and then pick up some self-help gurus nonsense. Oh, y'all don't want to talk. Y'all. I got real quiet. Y'all got real quiet. Y'all got real quiet. Why do I got to read? Why I don't want to say no names because I don't want to talk about nobody's book. But why do I got to read your ABC to best life steps when I got the book that tells me how to live the best life? I don't need the addition of your white noise. Because if I seek everybody else's opinion, I will not have the ability to hear God's. Y'all don't want to hear. This is why you struggle to hear the voice of the Lord, because you got so many other voices in your head. This person says do this. This person says do that. Y'all fix this sound for me. This person says do this. This person says do that. What did God say? You didn't even start with that. You didn't even start with what the Lord said. You didn't even start with the word of the Lord. So, Lord have mercy. So let me get to where we need to go. So if you can remain, if you can remain. Well, Pastor, how do I remain? Look at your neighbor and say, you got to be still. Oh, God. You got to be still. Jesus, Lord have mercy. You got to be still. If you can get still, if you can get still, then you can remain. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know. If I was preaching that, I would break it down by category. So first I have to be. Just be. And stop doing. If I keep doing, I'm never going to be. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If he made a human being, not a human doing. And if I keep doing, then I'm never going to be. So first, I just got to be. And then once I can learn how to be still. Once I'm still, then I can know. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's a progression. It's a process. And so if I walked into this room and everybody was talking and it was loud and I wanted to start the service and I didn't have amplification, I didn't have a microphone on, and it was loud and everybody was talking and I wanted to quiet the room and talk to everybody, there are a couple ways I can do it. If all of you were yelling and I started yelling, you would not hear my voice. But if you were yelling and I got up and went, shh, the shh would shock all of you. You would hear the shh even though you're yelling. Why? Because the shh is on a different frequency. Are you with me in this room? Are you with me in this room? And listen to me carefully. The reason why you don't want to remain and you want to uproot and you want to get away is because you haven't learned how to be still. You haven't shushed yourself. You haven't shushed your brain. Your mind right now is the loudest thing in this room. And your mouth ain't said nothing. Oh, I done said something right now. You're thinking about 80 million other things, more than what I'm saying right now. Your mind is full and it's heavy. And you got all these conflicting things. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to get this. And I hope this work out. I hope he say something that's worth my time. I done came out here. You got to be still. See, God speaks the loudest when we're the quietest. When we get quiet, he gets loud. When we get loud, he gets quiet. He's not going to compete. He's not going to compete. It's not possible. He's not going to do it. So you have all this chronic noise in your life, and chronic noise is one of the most significant impediments to spiritual growth. It Lord have mercy. It will stop you from remaining. All the chronic noise will make you uproot to go find out what the noise is about. If a sound break out over there that's so catastrophic, it's going to take your whole attention. And if I say, don't move, it's good. You're going to be here, but your mind going to be there. So life on the vine requires all of me, mind, soul, and body. Oh, God, Lord have mercy. So if I'm going to stand this thing so I can bear, get to the more fruit and the much fruit and do all that stuff, I have to learn how to live on the vine when it's silent, when it feels like God is not speaking. Just because he's speaking doesn't mean he's not working. I have to learn that silence is not passive waiting. It's proactive listening. Oh, I wish I had a church in here. I wish I had a church in here. I'm not sitting here just passively waiting for the time to pass me by until I fall off of the vine and die. No, I'm listening proactively for the next move of God, for the next direction. I'm listening for him to say, I'm going to cut you tomorrow. So when the cut comes, I'm ready. So that oh God, Lord, thank you, Holy Ghost. The difference in perception between pruning and punishment is intent. I'm dropping bombs up in here. I don't even know what's wrong with y'all. It's intent. If I cut you and say, so if you have something hanging off of your shirt and I come over, what you do? And if I come over, that y'all didn't even laugh at that. And if I come over and I say, I'm gonna cut this off, and I cut it, right? And I say, now there you go. All right. He's going to feel a yank, but he's going to know that was good for me because there was something on me that I didn't see that is distracting from what I want to do, and it's taking people's focus away. And so I need to cut that off. Now, if I come over and I pull this thing to unravel his shirt, my intent is to embarrass him. So whenever you feel a cut from God, it is to cover you. It is not to condemn you. God, Lord, have mercy. All right, Lord. Nobody shouts, cut me, Lord. We shout, bless me, but we don't shout, cut me. Oh, this is some grown folk meat right here. So watch this. When God cuts you, he stops being silent and he starts singing. Oh, God, I just want to talk about this thing real quick. God goes from being silent and he starts singing. And when he starts singing, he's singing songs of deliverance over you. Look at your neighbor and say, when God stops being silent, he starts singing. So if you want to hear the heart of God, silence is the key. And if you want the Spirit of God to fill you, you got to be still. And when you do all of that, Don Moen used to sing this song. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Don Moen was one of the foremost praise and worship leaders of our time. And he used to sing this song, Hiding Place. You are my hiding place. I would play that song over and over and over and over and over again because I've learned as a Christian how to live life on the vine. And so instead of running away from God, I run to God so I can hide in him, not hide from him. Lord God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And so as life gets more difficult, I go more into him and less into me. I stop trying to be anxious. I stop trying to be fearful, and I go deeper into God. I turn the praise music up louder, or I sit in my car and be still. I'll cut if it's really bad. There's nothing on, and it's just dead silence. I wish I had somebody in. If my life is, if you ever find me and I'm sitting in a room quiet somewhere, you know things are bad because I'm getting still. I don't want to move. I want the voice of God to become so much louder than the noise that's going on in my life. I need to turn everything and everybody off. As a matter of fact, I hear the Lord say it will do you some good if you start cutting some people off in your life. You got too many voices. Turn them off. Go home tonight and look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm cutting you off for a day. You ain't gonna do it. Look at you like, oh, I'm turning you off. You tripping right now. You're on timeout. He's saying something. You're my hiding place. It comes from Psalms. It comes from Psalms. Psalms 32 and 7. Come on, go there real quick. Psalms 32 and 7. The reason I'm making you go to the Word because I want you to see it for yourself. Come on, I got 6 minutes, so I need y'all to flip them pages. Come on, flip them pages. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. And you surround me with songs of deliverance. Do you understand this right? Okay, let me explain it a little bit. When God's singing songs of deliverance over you, he's surrounding you with it all the time. You can't hear them because they're outside of your range of hearing. But you're surrounded by a sonic shield of his divine song. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Those songs are powerful enough to break every artillery that's trying to come into your spiritual, physical, and mental space that's going to be detrimental to your development to bear fruit. And so God sings songs of deliverance, Lord have mercy, over you. You don't even hear, that's what the Bible says. You sing songs of deliverance over me. That your song, you might be silent, I might can't hear you, but you're singing. And you're singing and that praise is protecting me. so that I can stay in place, so that when my season comes to bear fruit, Lord have mercy, I'm ready. It is a frustrating thing to be in a fruitful season without the ability to produce fruit. This is why Jesus cursed the fig tree. I wish I had somebody in here, because he gave him a second chance. He gave the fig tree a second chance. He came and said, I want fruit. He didn't produce. He says, I'll give you a year. Go back and read the text. And he came back the next year and there was still nothing. So he says, cursed shall you be. It's a frustrating thing to have your season come and you're not ready because you're not there. Why is it important for God to go from silence to singing? Why is it important for you to be still? You got to be still to hear his silence. And once you can hear his silence, he goes to singing. The way this works, the way these two things that are on the side of your head work, the reason why they stuck right here is because you can't do this without this. Oh my God. The voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. Okay. The voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. Oh, Lord have mercy. So if you can't hear it, you can't say it. And if you can't say it, it can't be fruitful. So power of life and death is in the tongue, but I got to hear it before I can say it. And if my mind is so full that there's so much noise that I can't hear, then I can't speak it. And if I can't speak it, then it can't come into existence. So when there's so much white noise, God gave me an antidote to the noise. It's called faith. Because faith comes by hearing. So, y'all, come on, y'all killing me with this sound here. I don't know what you're doing, but y'all killing me. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when I can't hear God, I need to run back to his word. Blessed is the man that meditates on the word day and night, for he shall be like a tree planted by, oh my God, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So when I'm confused and my mind is cloudy, if I can run back to the word, then faith can come and I can hear again. And if I can hear, then I can speak. Then if I can speak, I can see it, because it's going to bear fruit, because life and death is in the power of my tongue. What the enemy wants you to do is be mute. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He wants to shut you up and shut you down so that you don't say nothing to nobody. He wants you in so much pain that you don't know what you look like without the pain. That the pain defines you. Oh, God, I'm going to get off of that. I done said something, and y'all don't want to hear me. So, silence. The sound of silence is life on the vine. The position of stillness, oh, God, is life on the vine. Letting God sing over you is life on the vine. Oh, God. This is some good stuff right here. That's life on the vine. And so when that happens, and I'm gonna close this thing out with this. And you remain. Oh, then it gets fun. Oh, do you know how fun it gets when you stop minding the cut of God, and the cut becomes fun? Because now you're getting rid of insignificant leaves who are detrimental to your fruit. So when something leaves your life, you're like, thank you, Lord. Instead of, why is this happening to me? Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? When God comes and starts taking stuff and moving stuff and doing it, you're like, God, you about to do something. I'm excited about it. I'm happy. I know something's coming. And you stop being anxious. You stop being nervous. And you stop being scared. Because you know the husbandman The vine dresser is making you look good. He's taking off the incense. You don't need those leaves. Those leaves are going to wither. They're going to be detrimental to your development. They're going to stop you from producing fruit. That relationship is going to cause you to wither. It got real quiet. Those people you're hanging around are going to cause you to wither. Hey, my friend, I'm a ride or die. I'm loyal. You can be loyal to a fault. You know what I've learned about? I'm loyal to a fault. I am loyal. If I'm for you, I'm for you. I don't care what you did. I don't care. If El Tommy, if you my man for real, you my man 50 grand. And I told you that if you my dude and then we loyal, I don't care what you did. I'm going to have your back. I'm going to defend. You could be dead wrong. Now, we can argue about it in the back. But when we get out here, I'm be like, I don't believe you. You're lying. Because that's how loyal I am. Now, when I get in the back, I'm like, what you do? Are you serious right now? For real? You ate the whole thing? See, if you know him, you know what I'm talking about. He's like, yes, I'm guilty. I'm like, all right, straighten up. When we go out here, be like, hey, look, what? I helped him eat it. That's how loyal I am. And when I got saved, I had friends, and they was my boys. I had friends, but being around them was detrimental to my development. And so I had to say, I love y'all. And if you really love me, then you're going to let me go. Because I'm on a different path now. And I found out who was really my friends and who wasn't. It's amazing what you can discover when you let God cut some things out your life. If you want to get into the place where your leaf is not withering, where you're an all-season contender, where you're remaining and you're staying planted and you're firm, you're resolved, then you're going to have to learn how to deal with the silence. And you got to stop freaking out when God goes silent. You got to stop saying, God, you left me, you're not with me. Have you ever, I love to cook. And when I cook, I don't talk. Because I'm cooking. I'm concentrating. I'm focused. So if you come to my house and I'm cooking and you want to talk, I'm going to tell you, get out. Because this is not time to talk. I'm in here getting this fish ready. I'm making the brown butter sauce right now. I'm about to put the sage in there. I'm going to kill it. You don't have no idea. You have no idea. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to walk over here because, see, Minister James got a competition going on. He think he can cook. I'm going to let him know. I'm going to put the brown butter sauce in there. I'm going to throw the sage in there. Right? And he'll cook something and send it to me and be like, what? And I cook something, send them picture back. Take that with you. And I'm in there cooking and I'm focused and I'm, you know. So one day my daughter comes in. She says, Daddy, what you doing? And I didn't say nothing. I'm cooking. And I'm sitting there. I'm cutting the yams in cubes. I'm going to make some roasted yams. You know what I mean? I'm really making a crab hash. Right? And so I got my lump crab meat. Oh, I'm sorry, you're on the fast. I apologize. You got a couple more days. You got a couple more days, it's over. So I'm just prepping you. You can eat crab. All right. So I'm making a crab hash. I can't tell you what I put in it. I can't tell you because some people gonna try to take my stuff. And I'm cooking and I'm sitting there and I don't say nothing. She said, what's doing? And I'm like, And so she comes over by the stove. This is a few years ago. She comes over by the stove. She says, Daddy, what you doing? I said, I'm cooking. She She said, "Why don't you talk when you cook?" I said, "I'm concentrating. I'm really into it, and I'm getting something ready for you. And I don't want to mess it up because it's for you." And she says, "Oh, you're cooking for me?" I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna cook this for you, and it's good. You know, it's good. I want it to be good, and it's for you." So she left me alone. She went downstairs, she put on her headphones. You know, if you got a teenager, you understand what I'm talking about. So she got her headphones in her ear, and she's walking around. I don't know what she's listening to. She got her headphones on, and everything's done, and it's finished. And I'm calling her. "Liv, come eat. Liv, come eat." And she's not coming. Now I'm getting mad. Because the food is ready, it's hot, sitting there on the table. And I'm like, "Baby, come eat, come eat. Liv, you know, Liv." I'm upstairs, I'm downstairs. I'm like, "Where are you at?" Right? She's got her headphones on. She's in her room, and she's got like a little, like in her room is like two pieces, and she got a little apartment in there, right? The whole little space. She's living her best life, you know what I'm saying? And so she's up there on her sofa, and I run up there. I'm like, "Did you hear me calling you?" Right? I'm standing in the doorway, and she still ain't budged, ain't moved, ain't nothing, because she got the headphones on. So I go all the way up, I get in the doorway, and I'm just standing there. I ain't said nothing. I'm just silent. I ain't saying nothing. And I'm like this. And she turns up and she looks up and she goes like this. I go, "Oh, you had your headphones in." She says, "Yeah, I couldn't hear you." I said, "I've been calling you for like 5 minutes. Food is ready." And she says, "Well, why didn't you just come up here and get me in the first place?" I said, "Well, if you would have had your headphones off, you'd have heard me calling you." I said, "How loud did you have those things?" She said, "I had them at the top volume." I said, "Baby, don't do that no more. What if I fell or something happened or somebody breaking the house or something? You don't know what's going on. You got too much noise. There's too much sound. It's not good for you, right?" I said, "Furthermore, you'd have missed a hot meal, right?" And she looked at me and she said, "Well, I was sitting there thinking about how long it was going to be, and I was going to come down there anyway." I said, "Oh, okay, cool. So let's go downstairs and eat." So we walk downstairs and we go to eat. She tastes what I make for her, and she's like, "Oh my God, this is like crazy good, right?" I said, "See, that's what you would have missed out on. That's what had happened." And she said, "Daddy, have you ever heard of a microwave?" My daughter said, she said, "If you made it for me, how in the world can I not enjoy it? And if it got cold, I'd have warmed that sucker up." My point is this, is that when God is making something for you and he's silent and he's not talking, oftentimes we put a different noise or a different sound in our ears that drowns out his voice of calling us. So the Father comes looking for us to let us know, "I got something for you." You don't hear what I'm saying. And the Father loves you so much that he'll come and find you. He's searching in the basement. He's searching upstairs. He searches all the rooms because he made it for you. I dare you touch three people and say, "He made it just for me. He made it just for me. This healing is just for me. This peace is just for me. This joy is just for me."